I'm excited about where we're going to be heading with this for the next weeks and months as we look at this topic and move on to some other things that are related, Lord willing. All right, there we go. Let's pray, and then we'll jump in. And I might need some help to get on the internet here, guys, too. Maybe. Let's see if it works. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to equip the saints for the work of ministry in sharing the gospel. Father, we are in this together. We want to create a atmosphere of evangelism around here where your Spirit's working, where we're sharing stories about what the Lord is doing, getting ideas, and growing and working at having more and more comfort in sharing the truth and knowing what to include, what not to include, and how to expand things, illustrations to use, scripture references. Lord, there's so many things we can do. So I pray for patience for all of us. I pray for us to be able to not be overwhelmed by what we do today, and to not be concerned about what we do today as well, that there would be a level of prayer and trust in what I'm trying to do here today, and patience too as we work through some things. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Looks like I'm on the internet. All right, so while I'm working on getting this started, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take out a piece of paper. You'll want to take some notes today. Okay, that's working. That's good. And what I want you to do, I'll minimize that, is to see if you can write out the four components of the gospel presentation. Remember, to give you a hint, it started with the bad news, and then it ends with the good news. And we went through those four components. And so what I want you to do is see if you can remember and write those down. Then I'll review them, then we'll try it again. So go ahead and work on that as I attempt, with the help of computer experts that are in this church, to find something. All right, they're going to work on that. Last time we were together, we talked a little bit about some tensions in our evangelism, how things that we feel, am I supposed to give tracts, or is it supposed to be friendship evangelism? Can I memorize something that I have as a baseline, or is that unspiritual and I should just trust the Spirit? And is it all justification, or am I really talking about the new creation? Am I using the law correctly? There's all these tensions we feel in our personal evangelism. And I wanted us to get those out there last time and just be okay with those tensions so that we can have ongoing discussions about this. Thanks, guys. Now, the purpose of what I'm trying to do right now is to give you and to work to give us as a church a way of sharing the gospel that we can learn and build on for ourselves. So whether or not you use it ever like we learn it, that's going to be up to you, and it'll probably depend on the situation and the people you're dealing with. But I want us to learn a way and work on, like you work on your golf swing, if any of you do that sort of thing, to practice these things and to actually get good at understanding how to share the gospel and comfortable with it. Because what that will do is it'll allow you, by learning one way, it'll allow you to do it anyway. And it'll learn a lot of different flexibility. So when you come to a passage in the Bible, you got this one way down so well, you could take that passage about Abraham and find all the components about and how to share the gospel from anywhere at any time. So I don't want you to stumble over the fact that I'm teaching you a way. This is my way. I came up with this with the help of an approach called the three circles that I'm going to show you to start out with. Some of you are going to sweat a hole in the chair when I show you this three circles thing, and I want you to relax a little bit. I want you to relax. I want you to criticize the three circles. I want you to look for positives, and I want you to look for negatives. And I want us to put them down and write them down and just be honest with this approach. And then I'll tell you what I did with it. I'll show you a couple things, and I'll do that in only a half hour. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take those components of the diagram and what I've done, and we're going to just start with the beginning. And we're going to just work through it week by week and think of, what scriptures do you like to go through about this? Oh, that's a great... And we get a list. Illustrations that you use for this concept. Ways of of speaking. And we're going to continue then to improve upon what we've done as a church and see if we can come and land on something that we, with a list of scriptures, a list of illustrations that we all can begin to practice and use. Does that make sense? That's where I'm going here. Now, that is not to say I'm not doing apologetics here. I'm teaching you to share the truth. That's a whole other series that is very important because people are going to pepper you with questions. How can a good God allow suffering? How can we trust the manuscripts of the scriptures? And so on and so forth. I think that deserves its own series. Because as we share this, those things are going to be very helpful. Not to save anybody, because only God can bring someone to the saving knowledge of Christ. But I think apologetics is helpful to remove barriers. And to be sweet and kind. And to build your faith as a believer. So we might... And then how... What about the Islamic faith? How does that tie into the gospel? How is that different? I mean, it's happening all around us. Do we know how to show the love of Christ to these? And so maybe those are the kinds of directions that we can take once we have this done. Does that make sense? So it's easy to criticize here and say, well, why aren't you telling us why God doesn't allow suffering? Because that's not what I'm doing today. Does that make sense? We'll get there. You have to just be patient. I don't mean trust me. I mean take every thought captive in obedience to Christ, be a noble Berean, and email me your feedback and let's work together as we do this. That being said, I'm going to show you a gospel presentation called The Three Circles, if I can get this to work. And what I want you to do is get a piece of paper out, put it positives and negatives, and begin to write things you liked and things you didn't like about this gospel presentation. Does that make sense of what we're going to do? All right. It's kind of fun to practice this sort of thing.
So we live in this world, and it's characterized by brokenness. We don't have to look very hard to see. There are things like disease, disasters, wars. There's a lot of pain in this world, but this is not God's original design.
Why is this not
God has a
big?
Perfect design. And the way that we have gotten
can you make it big?
Into brokenness is through something that the Bible calls sin. Sin is turning away from God's design
and doing
our own way. And that leads us to brokenness. Brokenness eventually leads us to death. And this death will separate us from God forever. But God doesn't want us to stay in brokenness. So He's made a way out. And that way is Jesus. Jesus comes and He enters into our brokenness. And the death that we deserve for pursuing brokenness, Jesus takes our place and dies on a cross. And His body is broken for us. And 3 days after He dies, He rose from the dead and He made a way out of brokenness. And people try many things to get out of brokenness. Things like religion, things like success or relationships, education or drugs and alcohol. But none of these things can get us out of brokenness. The only way out is Jesus. And if we turn from our sin and believe that Jesus died for us and rose from the dead, we can leave brokenness and grow in a relationship with God and pursue His design. And more than that, we can go. We can be sent just like Jesus back into brokenness to help others come through Him to pursue God's design. Now, there's two types of people in the world. There are people that are pursuing God's design, and there's people that are still in brokenness. We have to ask ourselves, where are we? So, where do you think you are?
Could you hear that? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, let's turn this off, and I'd like you to...
But I want to shift...
That's not... I don't want that guy... All right. Okay, so I'm back to this. Okay, good. That is called the Three Circles Gospel Presentation. David Platt runs the Southern Baptist Mission Board. This Three Circles Gospel Presentation is sort of what is being taught as kind of the gold standard of evangelism among the Southern Baptists, and especially it's taken on lately. So I've been reading up on this a little bit and looking through the biblical lens at it and so on, with the desire to do what everybody else has done, which is make it your own based on what the Word of God says. And so I've been working with this. But let's talk about this Three Circles Gospel presentation. And I'll put some positives and minuses. Let's start with the positives. And anybody, just raise your hand. No, I don't want to add a device. Okay, positives.
I like at the end how there's two types of people, either those pursuing God or those in brokenness.
And that was added by that individual, isn't it, in the actual original presentation? But see, what you can do anything to make it your own. Yeah, two types of people. What else did you like about it?
I have negative. They have to have a pen and paper.
Okay. Or a napkin or something to write on. Yep.
At the end where he said go and believe, I think you have to believe first and then go. No?
At the end he said go and grow and go.
Oh.
And he said turn and believe so that you can grow and then go and make disciples of all nations.
Believe first before you can turn.
Well,
okay.
Well, that's a good point. So we're going to talk about. I'll just put it here. Turn and believe is what the words that were used in conversion in that gospel presentation. It depends on your point of view. I personally believe it's repent and believe is the order. That's my view. And the view is that that's conversion, and it's one coin. It's turning from sin and self-effort to save you towards Jesus Christ. It's one act. If I have a pile of stuff right there, my own good works and my own sin, turning from that naked and helpless and saying, Jesus, I need you, that is repentance and faith. That's turning and trusting. That is conversion. And so that's what he means by that. It's repentant faith. It's believing repentance. You can't separate those two. It's the call of the gospel. The Bible says, repent and believe the good news. Mark chapter 1. Repent and believe. Jim.
So positive. It was simple. Criticism. Didn't really talk about the Holy Spirit's role or the Lord's role in the repenting and turning part.
I'm taking kind of notes for myself too, but I can send it to everybody. So not much there on the Holy Spirit's role in the whole thing. Good. Kim?
Mine is a negative. I thought sin is general. I think a lot of people say yes, everybody's a sinner, since we can see it in other people for sure, right? And so everybody recognizes that, but I like to make it a little bit more personal.
Okay, good. Any other positives? Any other negatives? Just anything. Jeff?
Tied in with the sin note, visually, I didn't like that it was proceeding from God's perfect design, almost like he's the cause.
Okay.
Visually, that is kind of...
Okay, other thoughts? Go ahead and proceeding.
On the flip side, the visual aspect is makes it easier to comprehend. Like I like that they use the visual.
So the whole idea. Yeah. Likes the visual. All right, other positives and negatives. Keep going. This is good. Bruce? Pam?
They didn't even use the word sin, and they didn't use the law.
Well, I think they used the word sin.
No, he said brokenness.
Yeah. Yeah, so you want me to show it again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before you do, I'd just like to amplify what she said. They did say sin, and it was Mark's sin. That was what separated us from God. But they said far more brokenness than they labeled the circle brokenness, which to me would indicate for most people this is our state, brokenness. And it follows that God is going to fix us. And I think that plays into the idea that Jesus is your buddy. And he'll straighten things out. I think that we are in active rebellion against God. Our core problem is that we hate the rule of God. And even as believers, we rebel. I find myself in treason or disobeying my king all the time. And the solution is breaking my will to the king. And that's where brokenness comes into my life. I am in rebellion, and I go to a broken state in my salvation process or my sanctification.
Okay.
He's talking about brokenness, or he's talking about a broken relationship with Christ.
Right. Okay, so... So let's talk. We talked about the tensions in evangelism, about the idea of brokenness being thrown out in evangelism. I don't think it should be. I think that's a broken view of evangelism. And I think that the touch point of brokenness is something that we should highlight. I mean, let's face it, I'll go through a presentation here, but what is the ultimate brokenness that we have? Our broken relationship with God. Separation from God. Right? Right. Is not poverty, pain, and death, and drugs, and all of this attempt to solve our own broken condition from the curse? That's one way of using brokenness. Another way of using brokenness is being broken by who you are, by the Spirit of the living God, so that you would turn to your Savior in your own personal brokenness. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So here's what I'm saying, guys. I warned you that we have to just relax a little bit. Relax. Relax. That's what I meant. Guys, people are suffering out there, and we don't want a therapeutic gospel. I looked at this, I thought, in fact, my buddy over here, Phil, said, if you start with God's design, what have you done? You've made it about a philosophy instead of about God Himself. Do you see that? But isn't that valuable to see that? Isn't it good to think these things through? Isn't it good to learn to share the gospel together? That's why I showed you this. I warned you. They did use sin. They used brokenness. It tends to be man-centered more than I'm comfortable with personally. As a general summary rule. But what are the positives with it, and what are the negatives? That's why I wanted us to see if we can learn from what's being done. Because look, who is sharing the gospel out there in this church? See what I mean? We're supposed to. So we know how to do it. And we got to start wrestling with these things. And we got to develop something that we as a church, according to the Word of God, are comfortable with. Let's do it. Let's build it. And let's learn it as a baseline, and then we have it, and we can allow the Lord to tweak it and allow it to lead us into different areas. So you guys see where I'm coming from here? Anybody? Phil.
You just said the biggest challenge the way he and the way some of them have presented it. But on the positive side, what I like is it gets people that are unbelievers to engage the conversation. And I think if it's used as a stepping stone to deeper conversations, that's what you want. So I think the way they've set that up is good. Simple, it's not hard to remember, and it's a staging point for further conversation.
Yeah, that could be a positive.
But I think that relational piece that you mentioned is really the one that,
yeah,
in my mind,
all right, good. Guess have your, yes?
About how the morning is, as I'm sitting here and gelling some of it, the gospel never changes. That's always the same.
Yes.
But how people converse with one another and how society is changed, does change. And so we go back to many lessons where you talk about, we don't talk about propitiation and some of that. We need to take what we're saying to people and bring it into the society today. Not change the gospel or weaken what it is, but put it in a language that's easier for them to understand.
Okay. So this would be a positive that maybe has some easy language. Another positive is that it touches on the death and resurrection of Christ, which a lot of gospel presentations fail to mention the resurrection.
Is the ascension important to be in part of that also? Or?
I'm not necessarily, it's a good question. I don't have a good answer for that. I think that putting the death and resurrection in is the key components, but it certainly, it's kind of where it can be exploded, especially as you talk about where we're going and he's there already and he's sent his spirit. You can explode any of this in any text for days. Here, let me, Eileen, I'm going to use you for a second. Guys, hear me on this. Oh, she said, yeah, of course she is. All right, well, I'll speak for her then. Eileen's in the line in the bank. She shares the gospel in the line in the bank. How are we doing with that? And not to be a guilt trip, how am I doing with that? My point is, she shared the gospel in how many seconds?
20 seconds.
Accurately. Now, does that mean, how can you fill it all out in 20 seconds? You can't, as point of fact. But what happens if God gives you an opportunity to share the essential core truths of the gospel in a short period of time? What are you going to say? And just because you didn't say everything that you could say doesn't make what you did say inaccurate. That's what I'm trying to say. We have to be really careful here. She shared, she shared the gospel. It was short and it was sweet, and of course she was being called. She stood in that line and said, I can't believe it. Is this true?
The woman was being called that she was talking to, so she said, tell me more. How do I learn?
Yes.
So she got a reaction.
And got the number, and she let, was she a Christian now?
I don't know.
Okay, we don't know about that.
For the information and the track.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get us to think about a core set of truths, and then to think, just be honest with you, okay, now to put everybody at ease. I couldn't use that gospel presentation. Does that make everybody feel better?
Yeah.
Everyone feeling better? Everyone's going to stay? But why do you think I showed that to you? So that we can evaluate it and build upon the simplicity of it and understand what are the components that do need to be in the gospel. Then, what, see what I mean? And that is going to make us really be able to share the gospel like never before. Lord willing. Comment. And then I'm going to give you...
Who do we think we're talking to with this? I mean, who as a group here, who are we talking to?
Unbelievers.
Because the comments I've heard get into theological points of view, which are valid, but this is not designed to be given to somebody who has a grasp of the gospel or who has a grasp of theology. They may have heard things, but that's starting out with brokenness, God,
bridge of sin. That is, hey, you and I don't know each other. I know that you're having a whole lot of problems. Let me talk to you. You know and I know that things are messed up.
Yeah.
Brokenness. We're not talking about the brokenness to the word, to the gospel, changing. We're talking about touching that person where they are. You're having problems. The world's messed up. Let me tell you why. It's meant to be simple. And what you touched on a little bit in various ways, it can be modified.
Yeah.
It can be modified to fit the situation.
Yeah.
Find the person actually knows something.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and but I agree that we can keep it simple, but my negative here is that we can't. One of the things that we're having today, even in the missions board of the Southern Baptist Convention, with David Platt, radical David Platt, running it, is a man-centeredness that we got to be careful of, because what you win them with is what you win them to. Let me say that again. What you win them with is what you win them to. And you have to be real careful with that. So with that being said, I looked long and hard at this. In fact, and I modified something like that as to work at this. But I think it's... So, look, here's what I did. And we're not going to get it done. This is the way that life goes. But we'll spill it into next week. I wrote out, and I've been working on this, and it's been probably one of the most valuable... And I'm just going to read it for the sake of it, and we're going to work on how to say it and what is a component and how we can say it better and other ways of saying it and other ways of drawing it. But I have a simple version of what I think is a better gospel presentation with some similar components, and then I have the one that I'm going to use version. I'm going to use it because I love it. And I think it touches on everything that I want to touch on, and we can expand all of it as they ask questions. What do you mean by that? So I'm going to give you the one that you one step better, but I don't think quite there. Can you handle that?
Sure.
Because we'll have to spill over to next week to get then I think another one, and then we're going to start working on it together. How does that sound? And let's get a gospel presentation that GCBC works with and a track that we've written with whatever we want to do. And let's begin to help each other, encourage each other to share the gospel. Does that sound like a plan?
Yep.
That's where I'm going here. I'm glad to see everyone's theologically astute, however, and your criticisms of that. And also kind enough to see one or two positives to it as well. All right. So let's... Of course, you know. Let's try this. And I will just simplify it by reading it. I'm not saying I would read this, but I want to get it all done. And don't have a lot of time left. Okay, so this would be the next step up. Why is that doing that? All right. Loving it.
Right below my date.
Why is that doing that? It's not supposed to do that. Okay. You guys ready? Let me do this for you. I'll give you the one that's kind of good. All right. And you can, I hope this is going to allow me to write. Okay, so I think we got to start with God. Not with man's brokenness. That's the first thing. Do you guys agree with me on that? We can get to brokenness and use it to our advantage as a touch point. Barb, you brought this up in one of our discussions about politics, about earthquakes, about you name it. Families, divorce. But we start with God. God's Word, I like to say that a lot. God's Word tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You start with God and you start with creation. And so I start with a triangle and write God in there. Now, you don't have to say, and there's a Trinity, and then define the Trinity. And you could explode the Trinity. Because they could ask why the triangle is there, but it's in there because you have the triangle. Okay? God's Word tells us that, I got to just read this and just draw it, and then we can talk about it. Isn't it going to be fun? Just rest. It's going to be okay. God's Word tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made you. He made you in His image, and He created human beings to worship Him and to walk with Him in relationship. God called His creation very good, and there was perfect harmony, and man enjoyed intimate, joyful fellowship with God. But that's simply that what I'm describing, very good and harmony and intimate personal, that is not true of our world, is it? That's not true of our world. Something is wrong. The world is absolutely broken. There is suffering, there is violence, there is injustice. It's not just the world that's broken, we are broken. We have broken lives, we have broken relationships, we have broken families, we have pain, there's disease, and there is death. So, and I want to draw then a broken person. What happened? Our ancestors, Adam and Eve, rebelled against God. They ignored God. They went their own way. And they decided they were going to serve themselves rather than serve God. They were going to love themselves rather than love God. And so they... And to live that heart out, they disobeyed God's instruction. They disobeyed His word. They disobeyed His one command. They disobeyed His law. And the Bible calls this sin. Horribly, sin, this sort of self-centered living, is passed. Horribly, this sin is passed on from generation to generation as a curse. All people inherit its guilt. All people inherit its internal corruption. We inherit a nature that loves self. And we prove it. Every single day, we prove it by disobeying God's law found in the Bible. In the gospel records, you've heard of the gospel records, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus tells a lawyer that the two greatest commandments, he tells a lawyer this. Here they are. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. How are you doing with that? I'll tell you how I'm doing with that. Who's done this? I've sinned. I haven't done that. I have disobeyed God. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says in three chapters in the book of Romans, it says this, the wages of that sin is death. In the Bible, death can be defined with one word, separation. Separation, one word. The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 59, but your iniquities, which is just another name for sin, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And that separation from God is in this life spiritually, and it's separation from God physically for all eternity in a place the Bible calls hell. Now you can cross out the guy if you want. You can draw a straight arrow, and you can put the word separation between a broken man and God. So now they're separate. Wow, I've always heard that God's loving. He is loving. You got that part right. He is loving, but He is also the God of justice. He cannot overlook sin and evil. If He is the morally perfect judge of all the earth, then He must punish His broken law wherever He finds it. In fact, tucked in the book of James, in James chapter 1, the Bible says, listen to this, whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, has been guilty of all of it. Now, in our lives, sin leads to a broken relationship with God and separation. It also leads to manifestations of that brokenness in our own lives. I mean, we have broken relationships. We have broken families. There is divorce. Politics are broken. There is violence. There's poverty. There's pain. And when we all feel this brokenness. Every single one of us feels this brokenness. What most people do is they turn their back on God and they try to fill this void, this brokenness, by doing different things. They'll try to heap up pleasures of entertainment. They will try to go after money. They'll try not to think about it. Sometimes they medicate it or they try to drink it away. And they pursue and trying to fill this brokenness in those ways. Some even try the religious way to get back to God and to fill that void. So they actually turn their face to God in a sense. And they try to be loving to people. They try to do all the good things. They try not to do the bad things. Trying to fix this brokenness, this hole and void in them, and get near to God. Religiously. But we all fall well short of His glory. Well below His standard of perfection. And I'm telling you what, it's absolutely bad news. I admit, this is all downer. This is bad news. But the book of Hebrews chapter 9 sums up the bad news. I think, well, you need to listen to me. I said this to someone last night. Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment. You ready for a little good news? Bill? Fred? Tim? How in the world are we going to get back into relationship with God? What are we going to do about this separation, this death that we're under? Well, here's the good news. God's not just a lawmaker. He's a love giver. He's not just a lawmaker. He's a love giver. He is a father. He wants to bring many back home into His family as adopted spiritual children. But we cannot bridge the gap. We cannot bridge this gap between God and man. See that gap? We can't bridge that gap. But the entire Bible prophesies, records, explains the coming of a Savior to save His people from their sins. You know the verse, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So the Son of God, this is Christmas time, took upon flesh and He dwelt among us and He lived the perfect life that we did not live. He came, the Son of God came down and His name is, they called His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. He came down, took upon flesh, He lived the perfect life that we could not live. He lived it all up. He obeyed the law of God perfectly, just as God demands, all the way to the very end. As He hung upon the cross, you've heard about that, right? Easter? He hung upon the cross. But on the cross, and you can make it a little bigger here. On the cross, Jesus died in our place for our sins, to pay the penalty of our sins, past, present, and future, to satisfy the justice of God. And He said when He had satisfied the justice, it is finished. And then He died and He was buried, but He rose again from the grave. That's Easter. He rose again from the grave, proving that He actually did finish our sin, proving that He actually did live that perfect life that we didn't live. He's alive. And He earned the right to give away forgiveness. He earned the right to give away His righteousness. He earned the right that we might become, see, I start to preach, become children of God. So I do the up-down arrow. So Jesus is the way back to God. He's the bridge connecting man, broken man, and God. He's the only way. In fact, the Bible says in John 14, I am the way. You probably heard this verse. And the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. But you know what, Bill? You can't just hear about this and have some head knowledge of it. You've got to come to the point where you admit that you are broken, that you are separated from God, that you are a sinner and you can't get back to God on your own. And you have to come to the place where you take all the good things you're trying to do patchwork. When you take all your sins that are there, you stick them in a pile and you turn from those things and you trust in what Jesus Christ did when He came for you in your place. And so I like to do this. I like to actually take an arrow and point it to Jesus. And I don't mind turn and trust at all. In fact, I like trust way better than believe. What's believe? Everyone believes, for heaven's sakes. Trusting gets at the resting on the work of Christ and can be exploded quite easily. This could be repent and believe that you write there. This could be turn and trust that you write there. Sin and separation, two T's, turn and trust. Okay? That's what the Bible says. Repent and believe in the good news in Mark chapter 1. And if you would truly turn from your sin and trust in Christ, all of your sins would be removed as far as the east is from the west, and you will be given the gift of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He, that's God the Father, He made Him, Him, that's Jesus. He, the Father, made Him, Jesus who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. At the time you turn and trust in Jesus, you receive new life. You're born again. You're made whole and new. And fellowship is restored. Nearness restored. No longer separated. And so you can be brought back to God, but only through Jesus. And now, back in relationship, you're back pursuing God to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as yourself, following Christ, who's not just your Savior, He's Lord of your life. And you are to follow Him and also be transformed more and more into the image of God. And one day, we'll be back in perfect fellowship in the new heavens and the new earth with God. So, that's the simplified version. If we had time, I'd tell you the better, way better version. But it was a very good exercise for me, brothers and sisters, and we had to be done, to take a gospel presentation, to look at it critically, and to relax a little bit, and see how we can improve upon this, but still use some of the key components that were good about it to make it a solid way of sharing the gospel. Now, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna learn my more complicated way. I'm gonna get good at it, really, really, really good at it, so I can do it. You say you have to have a pen and a paper. Well, I'm gonna have a pen and a paper. That's the first step. Secondly, when I use separation instead of brokenness as my primary thing, not secondary, it's easy to do this and this and this and this, to just even with my hands demonstrate these things. Very easy when you use a separation, which I think is a more biblical model. Brokenness is just the byproduct. It's just the byproduct. Right?
I still disagree with you as a broken.
Yeah.
I think the key thing is the emphasis of God and this whole thing, and keep coming back to that. And the separation, the fact, you know, I find with people is to give, you know, you can say, you know, all have sinned and fall short. But to begin to really understand that the emphasis has to be on God, and that when God separated us from Himself in the garden, He drove Him out of the garden, and He put seraphim around the garden, and they were not to re-enter the garden. There was a separation, and I think that's such an important part for people to understand, that they've been separated from the God that has created all things. And, you know, in order to get them to that place, because, you know, if we start down the road further, you know, it's where all of a sudden I'm no different than anybody else. I'm a good works, I'm a good neighbor, I'm a good husband, or whatever. Those things can come in, but the emphasis is on God. And then again, that Jesus is God. He's the one. only one that can put
us
back to Christ.
Yeah. Yep.
Bob. I think brokenness is a symptom. And the sin and everything is the disease. It's the root cause. It's just a symptom.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. And the fact is, though, that people's brokenness is, for me, that's when I have an open door to share the gospel with people, my friends. It's people that I've already shared before, when they have just lost a loved one and they are feeling the weight of death itself, the ultimate separation, when they are getting a divorce, when they are seeing the curse come up and bite them, they realize that this is it, this is all there is, I can say, no, there's not. And at the end of the day, is he not creating a new heavens and the new earth? Isn't the idea, too, there's going to be no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more of this stuff? That is the end game here. And if you don't choose to use broken politics and our president and to help you in your evangelism, that's fine. I choose to do that because that's broken. And only Christ and the gospel is going to fix any of this. Does that make sense? But if fixing us is the primary thing, what do we get into? A therapeutic, man-centered gospel. And we don't want to go there. Am I right?
Amen.
We don't want to go there. One more comment and then we need to go.
I was just going to say, when you talk about brokenness, it opens the door for the person to just think that they're not good enough. And it doesn't guarantee that you're bringing their mind onto God, but that their mind is stuck on them not being good enough for you or whatever. So when you use brokenness, it's really hard to determine if that person you're talking to sees what you mean by brokenness. And instead, maybe they're looking at themselves going, oh, I'm broken because X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
I'm not good enough. I don't have
enough. And that's why I try to say, look, it's the divorce. It's all the corruption. It's the rape. It's the murder. It's all these broken relationships. It's you drinking yourself into the grave. It's you piling up pleasures and not thinking about it. Those are all man's attempts to fill the void, the eternity that's written in his heart. And I think that is a valuable concept to get across. We may decide as a church, as we put this together, that we completely underemphasize that more and more. That's fine with me.
We're getting caught up with semantics, I think. I mean, at the end of the day, we need to open our mouths. Whether we use brokenness, whether we use separation, it doesn't matter. I heard the gospel in two words, because at the state I was in, it didn't matter. He just said, you need to repent and believe. And that was it. That's all it took. So we can, I don't think it's wrong to have this. I think it's great. We need to have this. We need to have a starting point. But sometimes, all you do is open your mouth and just say, hey, repent and believe, and that's all it takes. Doesn't matter who says it. I think the guy that gave me the gospel is a believer.
Right.
Well, I think, kind of in summary here, the Holy Spirit, God, right, Christ is the saving. Not us, right? But, in all the times I've witnessed, it's never gone the same way twice. What's come out of my mouth has never been. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's leading me. Why? Because I'm listening in a conversation. The context helps drive it. Time drives it, all those different things. And there's times where I could have done a better job, no doubt, but I'm sure what got passed is what needed to get passed at that point in that person's life. The key is to have an understanding of all these different terminologies so as you're going through it, you can adjust. The key is to have a process or a method that you like. I have one that I like that I know it well enough, I can adjust on the fly and I feel comfortable with it and I don't get trapped in my own words.
Yes.
Right? And if someone wants to debate it and go deeper, then great, I can do that. And so I think getting those solid rocks identified for the congregation and then each individual kind of grabs onto that is the most important thing, because otherwise we shy away because we're afraid.
Yep.
We do.
Yep. And hopefully that'll be what the Lord does here. But I do think words matter and we want to be biblical with this too. That's my heart in this. So I think I'm with you. Repent and believe. Some people are already there. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and your gospel. We want to be faithful to it and to the gospel. So show us where we're not. Help us as a church to enjoy this process of maybe building a gospel presentation together. May we then go out and use it and modify it and make it our own and be more and more equipped to share the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.